Raya, we're going to pick up with a new topic, Shin Yud Ches Tes Zayin. The Mechaber tells us in regards to cooking solids and liquids that there is a new discussion in regards to what qualifies as a liquid. So we've learned up until now that we have an idea called Ein Bishel Achar Bishel, something that's been cooked already, has already been cooked, cannot be recooked. However, if it's a liquid, so then in such a case, we say it could be, it's subject to being recooked. So the Mechaber tells us, Shin Yud Ches Tes Zayin Muter Litein An Panda. One is allowed to put, and I think one of the guys told me it's still used in Spanish today, an empanada. So that's what one of the boys told me. It's something like a knish. Kenegeda Eish. You're allowed to put it. Mokum Shayat Soledes Bo. At a place where it's going to reach Yad Soledes. Okay, so that's straightforward. Why would it be permissible to put there? It would be permissible to put there because we have a rule of Ein Bishol Achar Bishol, the Davar Yavish. But here comes the kicker. So far, so good. So let's spell it out very, very practically. If you have a knish that's been sitting in the fridge, are you allowed to put it directly back onto the blech? No, you're not allowed to put it directly onto the blech. What could you do? You could take that knish and put it on top of another pot. You could take it and put it on top of a pot. That's going to be permissible. Let's say you did that. Sounds like it should be mutter. And it is mutter. You can do that if you put it on top of a pot. But continues the Mechaber on page 275, even though there's fat that's inside of the knish, and then what happens when you heat it up is that that becomes a liquid. When you heat it up, it becomes a liquid. So the halacha is that in such a case, that's still going to be mutter. Why? Well, there are two potential issues over here that might make it aser. One is the concept of molid. That the halacha is that even though you're not cooking, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to take something and readjust its status. It appears as if you're changing something. What's the problem making it appear that it changed? So some say because it looks like a malacha, some say it looks like schita, right? You squeezed out of the knish some oil. Some say it's an extension of the Isser of Nolat, that there's a big discussion about on Yom Tov and in Shabbos. Either way, over here we're saying that this doesn't qualify as all of those things. Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. Let's talk about issue number one. It says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkaton Kuf Beis, V'lo Dami L'Risuk Shelag V'Barat, even though the halacha is that you're not allowed to mash, crush snow and ice, Mavur L'Kamon Das Mitam Nolad Shemolan Mayim, so too over here, it started off as a solid, and now it becomes, the fat begins to ooze out. Here you didn't do anything in your hand, by your hand. Here you didn't do anything directly. You put it up to cook. You didn't do any direct act of nola, of molid. It is aser to take ice and to mash the ice with your hand. But if you're putting the knish on, in a way that's permissible on top of the pot that is on top of the fire, the top of the blech, which is on top of the fire, chagadia, so then in such a case, halacha would be that that's not going to be a problem of molid. Okay. That's issue number one. Issue number two is really the subject of Simen Shin Yud Ches. Issue number two is, what about Bishul? So here we have a fascinating question. How do you look at a food item that starts off as a solid and ends off as a liquid? Do you say that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul B'Davar Yavesh? Or do you, and therefore it can't be recooked, because a Davar Yavesh, a piece of chicken you're allowed to put on top of the pot to heat it up, because there's, once it's been cooked, you can't cook it another time. Water, we paskin, you can't, because if the water has already become cold, it could be recooked again. So how do you look at something that starts off as a solid but has components that come out as a liquid? So over here the Mishnah Berurah spells out that the idea is as follows. Take a look in Sifkatan Kuf. It says in Mishnah Berurah, halfway through Sifkatan Kuf, first word online in my edition is Lechama. Vatam Shemutar, the reason why it's Mutar, next to the Kuf Chav Beis in the parentheses. Dekivan Shu Yavish Ashen Itstanim, Lo Shayach Boy Bishul Od. It's not going to be subject to Bishul. Afal Bisha Shuma Chosim Nuach, Mikomakum Mikri Yavish, Kivan Shabisha Shanas Lechama, Lo Nimcha Daim. It's not at all, the liquid is not recognizable. You can't see it. It doesn't exist. So then in such a case, that's not going to be subject to Bishul. You didn't do an act of Bishul. You put down a solid. If later on, I'd like to suggest maybe a pshat, if later on it was cooked, that wasn't your maisa. That wasn't what you put down. What you put down was a solid. If there's a liquid that's cooked, that's not your maisa. Your maisa was on a solid. We're going to see that the Ramah said, the Ramah, based on the Magen Avraham, says, maybe we should invert those terms, the Magen Avraham, based on the Ramah, says that's not going to apply if we're talking about other items that are congealed. There's one thing if you're talking about a knish, and you don't see any liquid, and the liquid oozes out. What happens if, and this happens pretty often, you have a chicken that you're allowed to put, the chicken back on the pot on top of the fire, but the chicken also has congealed gravy. So in such a case, would you say that that is considered bishul on davar yavesh and therefore mutter, or davar lach? So here, the Ramah starts off telling us that there's no problem in terms of molid if you have gravy. It says v'kol shekain keder sheish barotav shenikrash shekashuma nimuachen ben deshari, that you're not going to have a problem of molid, but says the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Kuf Dalid, you will have a problem of bishul. You're going to have a problem of bishul. What's the problem of bishul going to be? That because the gravy existed, even though the gravy was congealed, it still was gravy. It's congealed gravy, but it's gravy. It's different than the case of the knish. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, one should not put that on top of the pot, because then one will be over yesh bishul achar bishul bedavar lach. That would be the phenomenon that would take place. Now there is a big discussion in the poskim, a very big discussion within the poskim. How do you define a mixture when you have something that has a little bit of davar lach, but it's primarily a davar yavish? So in our case, what we were talking about is an instance where you had a piece of chicken, and you have a little bit of gravy that's sitting over there. So in such a case, that little bit of gravy, we say is considered something that's going to be separate. That's the way we presented it. The truth is, there is a big discussion in the poskim. When do you define the liquid as being separate and distinct from the ochel, and when do you say that the liquid is part of the ochel? So let me give you a couple examples halach lemaisa that you could ask. What happens if you have a piece of chicken and the chicken has a little bit of gravy on top? Are you allowed to put it back on the fire Shabbos? So on the one hand, it's a piece of chicken. Ein bishlach bishul b'davar yavish. On the other hand, there's a little bit of gravy. What about the case that I just said that should be usher in the Magen Avraham? Does everybody agree with the way I described the Magen Avraham? You can't take your Rebbe's word for it. One of my Rebbe, Rabbi Branchfield, Shavar for Shalem, will quote from his Rebbe, Rav Gorelick Zatzal. Rav Gorelick was the Talmud Muvok of the Brisker Rav. And Rav Gorelick was very sharp. Rav Gorelick would say, Ayid darf haben emuna. A Jew has to have emuna. Aber darf lernen on emuna. He has to learn without emuna. What Rav Gorelick mean? Doesn't mean to put emuna on the side. What he meant was that just because your Rebbe said it, you're not supposed to accept it as right. You have to look it up. So you look up the Magen Avraham. See if the way I present the Magen Avraham is the way the Magen Avraham ayid darf haben emuna, aber darf lernen on emuna. That's the beauty of Talmud Torah. On the other hand, I just told the Talmidim HaYikarim that as we were driving here, that at the same time you have to realize that there was one thing a Rabbi Braunschweig said. I gave a shiur in Ramat Eshkol from the Nativ Arye Lumbi a year ago. 22 years after Rabbi Braunschweig had told me something about the sugya, I was preparing the sugya 22 years later, and I said, that's what my Rebbe meant. And then I went deeper in the sugya, and it was one sentence. One sentence. He said to me that if you take a look at the Rashi, and I just thought he was just telling me another Rashi. 22 years later. So on the one hand, you don't have emuna. Then you have to look away. But you, at the same time, I never understood it until those years have begun to pass. The things that my Rebbeim told me that more than 20 years later only I begin to understand. So we're discussing a psak from Rebbeim Tzal that I don't understand it. Didn't make sense to me. That's borrower to me. That right now it's because I don't know very much. But I'm sure in 40 years, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me this chus, then 40 years that I'll have much more of a chance. So we said that according to Magen Avraham, if you have chicken with a little bit of gravy that's surrounded, so then in such a case that's going to be a problem. So Rav Rafi Abraham, in the night call after Ma'ariv, so he told me that there's a big diyun as far as how to define a mixture of yavesh and lach. Do you call it a davar yavesh or do you call it a davar lach? And I looked into it a little bit more because he told me that there was a gadol b'torah that was mekel in the case that I just said that the Magen Avraham is machmir. And I looked into it more, and it's Taka Prima Gadim. There's a Prima Gadim that says that's more Makel than what we just presented. That's why I said you got to check up which way is the Magen Avraham Mashma. You take a look at the Prima Gadim in Siman Reish Nun Gimel, the Prima Gadim says you go after Rov. Whatever the majority is, so then in such a case, then it's going to be Mutter. I totally missed that sheet of the Prima Gadim because Ruba, the Poskim, that you look in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, the Archo Shabbos, all the standard contemporary Svarim, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Zatzal did not go with this Prima Gadim. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Zatzal said that the halacha is that those things that are part of the Ochel, those things we say is not going to be subject to Yavesh. However, those items that are separate and distinct, then in such a case, even if it's the miut, he was choshed even the miut. So bottom line, according to our Masorah from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, the halacha would be as follows. And when it comes to the chicken, if you have chicken and gravy, the best thing is to take the chicken out. Then Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says, everything that's on the top, that's going to be bottled to the chicken itself. With one exception. His whole svara is that the lach that's on top of the chicken is really part of the chicken itself. It's really part of the chicken itself. So he says that would only be that lach that comes from the chicken itself. But what happens if you have gravy that you put on top of the chicken? So if you went like the Prima Gadim Heter Gomer, that's why you got to check up on me. Look up the Magen Avraham. But according to Prima Gadim, there would be Heter Gomer. But Rav Shlomo Zalman's more machmir. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says that if you put gravy, there was gravy on top, that should also, you have to be careful in Hilchos Borer, to be careful how to remove it in a way that you wouldn't be doing Borer. But Rav Shlomo Zalman said that would be a problem. Lanias Daiti, if I could sharpen what Rav Shlomo Zalman said, I had the following tzad that maybe Rav Shlomo Zalman would be Mekel in a case of where you had chicken, which you put gravy on, and you cooked it with the gravy. So the simple reading of Rabbi Shlomo Zalman's psak is only those things that are organic from the chicken itself is not going to be subject to bishul. But what happens if you had gravy that was put on top and then cooked with it? Lania's daiti, once a gravy's been cooked with the chicken, so then in such a case it becomes part of the chicken itself. And there you could be mekel. Again, you have the Prima Gadim that says you just follow Rov. And that's a big kula, so we don't follow that Prima Gadim, but on this, I think that would be enough to be able to follow that lenient opinion. So that's the bottom line in regards as far as this is concerned. How much more time do we have before Ma'ariv? We have another couple minutes. One more very much halachal amaisa application of this discussion is in regards to coffee. Coming back now to the case of Nimuah. Remember we said that if it's congealed and then it becomes nimuach, it's considered a davar lach. Halacha lemaisa, what would you say, Rabosai, about making coffee on Shabbos? Tea, we've spoken about the tea having some serious problems. What would you say about coffee? So regular instant coffee, or what's called in Israel here, kafe nemes, that's also a type of instant coffee. So that in such a that coffee is already cooked. So one would have said what? Ein bishul achar bishul, b'davar yavish. It's already cooked. It shouldn't be subject to bishul. However, the coffee is not so pasha, because it might be like this case that we just learned in Shulchan Aruch. What did we just learn in Shulchan Aruch? We just learned in Shulchan Aruch that what? We just learned in Shulchan Aruch that if you have something that started out as a solid but turns into a liquid, you have to be machmir. So when it comes to coffee as well, if it starts out as a solid, since it becomes a liquid, we have to treat it like a liquid. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, in regards to our salt, says the Mishnah Berurah all the way back in Sif Tes, the Mishnah Berurah says, our salt and our sugar, you should not put in a kli rishon, even though salt and sugar has been already cooked, but you have something that started out as a solid, then becomes a liquid, and it cooks very quickly. In other words, it almost right away becomes a liquid. It's not something that takes a while to become a liquid. It becomes a liquid almost immediately, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah paskins not to put it on in a kli rishon. There's a big posek who's very sick. His name is Rav Nissim Karelitz. He should have a refuah shalem. He was just rushed to the hospital. So his chusar refuah shalem will say over a chumrah of his. Rav Nissim Karelitz held that not only is the halacha when in regards to salt, that you our salt that's already cooked, that you should put, you shouldn't put in a kli rishon because it's mimuach. He held you can't even put in a kli sheni. So he says that someone who has chalent that needs salt, he says if you don't put the salt on, so then in such a case, then you did not have a full Onik Shabbos, but you get Hamachmir Tavol of Bracha. Why? What's Rav Nissim Karelitz's Svara? Rav Nissim Karelitz's Svara is as follows. We learned that when it comes to salt, so salt is subject to Kalei Abishal. It falls in the rule of Kalei Abishal. Easily gets cooked. Now, our salt is already cooked. So when did they say it's Kalei Abishal? Bipashtus they were talking about, what's referred to in the Rishonim as Melech Shalahem. Mine salt. But we said cooked salt is going to be okay. Comes along Rav Nissim Karelitz. He says, once the Mishnah Berurah introduces the Chumrah based on a Magen Avram, that when it becomes Nimuach, then it could be subject to Bishal again. So then it's subject to Bishal in a Kli Rishon. It will be Mevushal. And now it has a Din Melach. If it has a Din Melach, it reverts back to the original Din Melach Shalahem. And therefore, the halacha would be that it would be Machmir Kli Sheni. So we say this over as Shabbos Chus Refua Shalema to Rav Karelitz. But the Minig Yisrael is it seems to me, is not that way. The Minig Yisrael is to say, if you're going to be Choshesh, you're going to be Choshesh that it's Mevashel within a Kli Rishon, but not to say that you'd have to be Choshesh in a Kli Sheni. The Minig Yisrael has been to be Mekel with our salt and so on and so forth. Okay, well, it should be a Swiss Refuah Shalema, friend.
Coffee, bottom line, is the same thing, cliche.
Coffee, bottom line, would Rav Nevensal Paskins in a Kli Rishon, in a Kli Rishon to be Machmir? As far as in a Klisheni, that Rav Nevensal goes with the Mishnah Berurah, not with Rav Karelitz's Cheshvan. You have to Cheshvan according to Rav... No, Rav Karelitz would not be Machmir. He'd only be Machmir with salt. The reason why Rav Karelitz only be Machmir with the salt is because it goes back to the din of Melach Shalahem. We don't have... There's no din of Kofi Shalahem. That's Kali Abishah.